Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, your teacher and preacher here on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. I hope that you are having a fruitful summer and taking some time out to spend in the presence of the Lord. I'm coming to you at this time because we have a need that I would like to share with you. We have fallen behind in paying for our radio time and would like for you to join us in making up this shortfall. I know the show has blessed many people throughout the years. Some have even taken the time to write and let me know what the show has meant to them. Here is one of those letters. Pastor Glaze, I listen to you on Word FM. Thank you for your faithfulness to God's Word. Your messages have been encouraging to me so many times, just what the divine physician ordered to help me spiritually when I was in need. Your latest messages have come just in time during an especially trying time of my life. May God continue to bless, strengthen, and encourage you. Wow, what a letter. Any financial assistance that you can give will enable us to continue to help people like this dear soul who wrote this message. The show has especially touched those who are incarcerated, who write and ask for materials, but of course are not able to contribute. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Would you please consider a tax-deductible gift to help bring our expenses up to date? And then secondly, would you consider giving on a regular basis to the ongoing expenses of the Anchored in Jesus radio program? My friends, it's been a long time since I've personally come to you on the radio to ask for your help. I can assure you that every penny you give goes directly to the radio ministry. I have never received any financial remuneration from the radio ministry, and we have no paid staff. All those who help produce and broadcast the show are volunteers. In these perilous times, I'm more committed than ever to preach the word of God to those who need it, regardless of their ability to pay. I want to take what I preach on Sunday mornings and make it available all over the world through the internet and this radio broadcast. Would you continue to help us do that? Of course, I continue to solicit your prayer support. This ministry functions and is able to stay on the air through your prayers. But we also have financial needs that help us to get the word of God out. You can make your checks payable to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. That's P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Or you can give online at the Anchored in Jesus website, www.anchoredinjesus.org. That's www.anchoredinjesus.org. And once you get to our website, you can hit the Donate Now page. Thank you in advance for your help. I'm trusting the Lord for His provision, and I'm asking you to seek the Lord on how you can participate in helping us. Thank you for listening, and to God be the glory.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with, do you see a ghost in your storm? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of, do you see a ghost in your storm?
As we come this morning, we've been in a series on the Feast of Israel. And as happens to me sometimes when we're in a series, I was studying. We've been doing a study on Wednesdays, contradictions in the Bible. I don't know if you know it, but there are over 100 contradictions in the Bible. I mean, blatant contradictions. And so we've been looking at them and seeing how to resolve the tension between those contradictions. And one of the contradictions that we looked at last Wednesday was when Jesus walked on the water. Matthew says that
At the end, the disciples worshiped him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Mark, he said, and their hearts were hardened because of the miracle of the loaves. So we had to resolve that tension that was there. After Jesus walked on the water and went back on the boat, did the disciples worship him and say, "Truly, this is the Son of God"? Or were their hearts hardened after that? So we resolved that on Wednesday. But as a result of that, I was studying and something just jumped out at me in this passage. And that's what I want to speak to you on this morning. I mean, it just grabbed a hold of me, and I said, "Man, I want to share that." I was telling the people on Wednesday. It just jumped on me Wednesday afternoon, and you know, I was carried on till Wednesday night. So let's look at Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. Matthew chapter 14. Beginning in verse 22. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a boat and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain privately to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the boat now was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And Peter was come down out of the boat. He walked on water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, 'O thou of little faith, why did thou doubt?' And when they were come into the boat, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, 'Of a truth, thou art the Son of God.'" And as the disciples were in the midst of a storm, and Jesus came to them walking on the water, we all have storms in life. We all have trials and tribulations in life. And so I want to ask you the question this morning, in the midst of your storm, do you see a ghost that makes you afraid, or do you see a God that causes you to worship? If you have your notes this morning, you'll see that the opening statement is, "Those who see a ghost in their storms are fearful." Those who see a ghost in their storms are fearful. "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear." Matthew 14, 26. The word fear comes from the Greek word phobos, and it means to be terrified. That these individuals, that they were terrified because they thought they had seen a ghost. Now, if you'll go on to the next slide, I want to point some things out about fear. Fear is something that happens to many people in life. There is what's called specific fear, and this involves a marked and persistent fear and avoidance of a specific object or situation. That people who have fear, that they avoid specific objects and situations. And then approximately 6.3 million American adult ages from 18 to 54, or about 4.4, have some type of specific fear. That's a whole lot of folks that are dealing with fear. If you go on to the next slide here, there are over 500 phobias, fears, that are known to individuals, that there are at least 527. Claustrophobia, which is fear of being in closed spaces. There is homilyphobia, which maybe some people have that don't come to church. That is the fear of sermons. Then there is ecclesiophobia, which is a fear of church. So, you know, actually, I've run into some people that have a fear of coming to church. for whatever reason. There may be something there that just causes fear to come over them, so they don't come to the house of the Lord. And then there is phobia, which is a fear of fear. So, you know, we all have certain ghosts that we fear. I remember one time when I was in college and I had come home from college that a friend of mine and I, we went on New Year's Eve to see the movie The Exorcist. And now here I am, a grown man, right, in college, studying to get a bachelor's degree. And I remember I came home, we got home about 11:30 that night. And I think my brothers must have been spending the night somewhere, and my parents had gone out for the evening. And I remember I was afraid to go in my house. And I went, and there was a wall across the street from my house, and I sat on that wall until my parents came home. I think they came home about 4:30 in the morning. I sat on that wall till about 4:30 for about 5 hours because I was not going in that house, and I had just seen that movie, The Exorcist. So, you know, fear comes to all of us, and it comes in various shapes and sizes. So, you know, there are certain things that we fear. Now, what is fear? Fear is a feeling of excitement that is stimulated by either a challenge or a threat of harm or danger. Fear can be a response to something that is either real or imagined. And then when people are dealing with fear, notice the certain symptoms that are associated with fear. Dilated pupils, increased breathing, increased blood pressure, tightening of the muscles, increased sweating, the skin whitens, the hair straightens, and there is uncontrollable bodily functions. Now, we can go back and remember as children, right, growing up, when we would watch cartoons and somebody would see something that would scare them. Well, what would happen? Their eyes would get big. They would start breathing. They would turn white. And, you know, all of a sudden their hair would straighten up. Why? Because they were terrified. There was something that happened. So, you know, when we deal with situations, watch this. We might not go to the extreme that they went to in the cartoons. But subtly, these things are happening, you know, to people who fear. Might not be, you know, like I said, the hair stand up thing, but you know, inside, you know, it's something that's going on. And so we need to realize how fear affects us. And when we think about the types of fear, well, you know, there is what's called a good fear, and when we fear the Lord, that's a good thing. You know, because that's like a holy reverence. Or sometimes, you know, God has given us, you know, God has given us a certain degree of fear, all right? And it's a good fear, all right? And what is good fear? You know, a good fear is that when a child touches a stove for the first time and burns their hand, that something happened to cause them to be fearful that what? That they're not going to touch it again. So from that standpoint, you know, God has given us that sense of fear to help us out, to help us avoid danger. But when does fear become a problem? Fear becomes a problem when it affects everyday functions in life. And fear is a problem. Fear becomes a problem when we get out of control and it begins to cripple us and render us ineffective. Fear is bad when it causes us to panic. So when we think about fear, you know, God has given us that sense of fear. But Satan, what does he do? He comes along and he messes with it. And then he gets us to be crippled because of our fear. He gets us to be ineffective because of our fear. He gets us to begin to panic because of our fear. We think about what are some things that arouse fear. When we consider several possibilities, when we think that we might fail, fear comes into our life. If we are attempting to do something that we've never done before, we might become fearful and not want to try it. Being anxious or worried about something, being worried about a medical procedure. You know, some people, when they're getting ready to go in for surgery, you know, what is one thing that grips a lot of people that's getting ready to go in for surgery is the fear of what? The unknown. You know, what are they going to find when they go in there? You know, what's going to happen to me when I'm under the knife? What's going to happen after I've been operated on? How are things going to work out? And so people begin to fear. Now, you can see how that if we're not careful, that something even of that nature will grip us. That's why, you know, I know some of us are prideful, and, you know, I have no issue with that if you are prideful. But I tell you what, if I'm getting ready to go in for some surgery, you better believe one thing. I'm going to get the saints to pray. I'm going to get the saints to pray. Now, you know, some people, you know, they slip in and out, and that's your thing, and I'm not criticizing you for that, or I'm not being critical of you for that. You know, that's the way you want to do it, so that's fine. But as for me, whenever I need something going on, some prayer, I mean, some surgery or something, you know, I'm asking the Lord to pray. I mean, I'm asking the saints to pray. Not only so that the Lord would guide and direct the doctor's hands, whatever the case might be, but the Lord would pray that that fear would not paralyze me, that fear would not grip me, because if you're not careful, it'll take you over. And really, if you think about it, fear, whatever you're going through, can make the situation a lot worse. And fear, not only that, but it can hinder your healing process. You know, your body needs to be in sync to heal. And if you are filled with fear, then the process of healing is going to be affected in your body also. Things associated with a traumatizing event that happened in the past, you know, for instance, a child that was bitten by a dog, you know, now as an adult, they are what? They're afraid of dogs. Why? Because of something that happened in the past. An unexpected, terrifying event. And some of y'all know this one right here. That's being stopped by the police. I was downtown. I had to go see Terry Collier a couple of months ago. And I was downtown, and I got in my car, and I was driving downtown. And all of a sudden, man, the police lights were in the rearview mirror. I said, oh, man, what did I do? I'm trying to think what I did. I said, man, what did I do wrong? Did my registration expire? Did, you know, my inspection, you know, what's going on? And I was freaking out. I was fearful. And I looked back and Jimmy Snyder was getting up. I said, man, don't do that, man. Don't do that, man. So, you know, sometimes, you know, just, you know, things like that. You know, fear will come on you that quick. An intimidating circumstance. You know, a child that's being bullied, you know, will enter into this fear. A lack of trust. People not wanting to fly. You know, feeling like the airplane is going to crash. So, you know, they are fearful of flying. And then, as I said earlier, one of the things that happens is that whenever fear gets out of balance, you can be sure that Satan is going to come in, that he's going to come in and he's going to mess with your mind. He's going to mess with your life, you know, because he's going to capitalize on this idea of fear being in your heart. And he's going to try to twist it and make it something that God doesn't intend for it to be. So, you know, we need to be aware of those things as we deal with fear. Now, how do people deal with fear? Well, there are three basic ways that they deal with it. Some people just avoid it. You know, they don't want to think about it, and they, you know, just it's there, but they, you know, just in whatever they'll go to limps. You're walking way down the street and way across town to avoid it. They wallow in it, you know, just it overcomes them and takes them under. And then the third way, which is the healthy way, is to face it, which is what we're going to talk about today. You know, you just got to look your fear in the face and you got to deal with it, okay? Then the results of fear. What are the results of fear? It paralyzes a person and makes them ineffective. It leads to sin such as not trusting God. It weakens a person's ability to be bold. That when a person is fearful, then, you know, the boldness in their life is rendered ineffective. It causes health problems, you know, and all you need to do is look up health problems associated with fear, and believe me, there are a multitude of them. And then it leaves the individual open to attacks from the enemy. And so, you know, these are some of the results of fear. If you'll put up that next slide before I get back into the scripture again, So sometimes we have to analyze fear. You know, we have to begin to, as we talk about facing fear, we have to begin to analyze it. And the first thing that we want to ask is, what's causing my fear? What is it that is causing me to be fearful? And then the second question that we want to ask in this analytical observation is, what is the worst thing my fear can do to me? What is the worst thing? And you know what? Now, this is me, and this is my perspective on things. I don't want you to take this perspective if you don't feel led by the Lord, but this is my perspective on things. When I ask myself this question, what is the worst thing that can happen to me? And you know what I come to the conclusion? That the worst thing that can happen to me is that I can die. But then that's the best thing. For me, anyways. I mean, if my time, when my time comes, and I'm not trying to rush it, but when my time comes and it's time for me to go, then the best thing I'm gonna look at is that, man, I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. So when I analyze that and look at my fear and I say, well, what is the worst thing that can happen to me? The worst thing that can happen is it takes me out. But then that is what? That is the vehicle that ushers me into the presence of the Lord. So like I said, that's me. You don't have to, you know, you might be dealing with something else. If you want to just go ahead and let your fear take you under, then that's you. No, I'm just kidding. But that's me. That's my perspective on things. And it really helps me out, because then I realize what is there to fear. Look at Psalm 27. Now, I didn't plan on going here, so we might have to take up another offering, because, you know, this wasn't one of the verses that I was planning on preaching on. It's just, you know, I just wanted to read this to you right here. Psalm 27 in verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, though the whole world turn against me, my heart shall not fear. Though I get the diagnosis that I only got 2 months left, I shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to look at God, to look at his beauty, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of fear, in the time when I'm afraid, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me and set me upon a rock. God says that he'll watch over you. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What is the worst thing that my fear can do to me? What is my fear keeping me from doing? You know, and a lot of people, their normal activities, the normal course of life has been totally altered because of fear. What is my fear keeping me from doing? Is my fear keeping me from doing something that God wants me to do, something that God has told me to do? What are the benefits of me overcoming my fear? Well, I get my life back. So, you know, that's one thing, get my life back again. And what is the first little thing? You know, sometimes when you are gripped with fear.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Do You See a Ghost in Your Storm? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Do You See a Ghost in Your Storm? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Do You See a Ghost in Your Storm? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, Do You See a Ghost in Your Storm? Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can also view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.